Certainly need your prayers this morning. Appreciate the prayer that's been offered. Ask each of you just to continue to pray for me as I stand before you today. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the Acts of the Apostles this morning, looking at the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. We have in the Acts of the Apostles the things that the apostles did after the Lord Jesus Christ sent them preaching the gospel as they went among the brethren in the church of the first century, and they went preaching and teaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The 20th chapter talks about Paul and his travels. The part that I want to look at this morning, if the Lord would bless us, is when Paul called out the elders at the church of Ephesus and called them together and delivered unto them, I guess what you could call a farewell address, and certainly a charge. And I believe in that that's laid down in God's Word. What He said to them is very much to the ministry today and to the churches as well, as is part of God's holy Word. And thanks be to the Lord, we haven't been left in this world without light, but we have the Scripture to guide us to all of that which we are to believe in faith and doctrine. We go to the Bible. So many have just disregarded the Scripture today as if we don't have any true guidance. Some have discounted all of it. Some have discounted parts of it. Some have chosen parts they like and use them often and in their own way. And others and then turn on the parts they don't like and just discount them. And it's kind of a pick or choose thing. Paul was very clear here about those that were to follow him preaching the gospel, not only the elders at Ephesus, but also all ministers that stand. We're told to preach the word. We're not told to pick and choose in the word of God. We're not even told to pick and choose the thoughts and the principles that we want to share with God's people. We're not to hold back, or we're not to select out of the Word of God based on our will or our want what we share with God's people. We are to preach, as the Apostle Paul says here, the whole counsel of God. And in Acts 20, verse 17, he talks about not only his preaching among them, but he sets himself up as he really was, called of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the apostle unto the Gentiles. He sets himself up as an example of those that were to follow. Now, many would say, I'm not a Paulinian, so I don't really need to follow Paul. Well, we know from the Scripture that Paul told us to follow him only as far as he followed Christ. And so when you follow the Apostle Paul, as he wrote in God's Word, inspired of the Holy Spirit to write, you're not a Paulinian, you're a Christian. You're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you neglect to follow what the Lord taught the Apostle Paul to teach us, you may call yourself a Christian, but you cease to be a Christian in the sense of a follower of Christ. Now, I don't mean by that you cease to be a child of God. One who is born of God cannot, will not be able to cause themselves to be anything other than that which God has called them to be, and that's a little child of God. But you can bring a lot of agony and heartache and trouble in your life by disregarding the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as one of his children. As children of light, we're called and given life by the Lord, and then the Bible teaches us how to live. And all of us, I don't think any of us would dare today to be so bold. I know I'm not, and I certainly believe you're not, to be so bold to tell anyone that we always walk in the light. That we always do that which the Bible says. That we always do even that which we know that the Bible says. I know there are many times I do the wrong thing because I don't understand from the Scripture what it is I ought to do. But I know there's also so many times I know exactly what to do. And yet, in the old will of the flesh and in disobedience to the God who's given me life, I do something other than that. And the good news is God doesn't let one of his little children get away with that. And he won't let us get away with it. And the Apostle Paul was telling them, you won't get away with it. And he allows us to know we won't get away with it. We don't really want to get away with it in the heart, do we? We want. I believe you're here today because you want to live better and act more like a little child of God. Not in order to get your ticket punched to heaven, because that's been finished by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, despite what you do. But because you are his child, you want to walk more in obedience as his child. And you want to live in that fellowship with the Lord. You're in relationship with him. But you can be in relationship with your family and not be in fellowship. Y'all know families that you can do, that maybe you have relationship with them, but you don't fellowship. And isn't that sad? In this old world, when you got family, you don't fellowship. Your family, you don't talk to. Family you can't get along with. Family that you might want to be make friends with. But despite all of that, you got relationship with them, but you don't have fellowship with them. Now, even sadder than that is God's little children who have relationship with him, but they're not walking in fellowship, because in order to walk in fellowship with the Lord, he tells us how to live, how to act, how to behave, how to conduct ourselves in a way to bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. And when we do that, well, you find blessings and peace and joy and rest, even the kingdom of God in this world, which is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Can you have that in this world? I believe we enjoyed some of that yesterday. I believe and hope we've enjoyed it already this morning. I believe you can be where a place where one has even died and passed on and find a measure of peace and rest and joy in the Holy Ghost, understanding that this is the will of God, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and our beloved one is gone home to be with Jesus, and therefore rather than being sad, though I'm sad I won't see them, I'm rejoicing in my spirit that because of faith and what God's done for me, that they are at home with the Lord. And as we grow on in years, it gets to be a little closer for all of us. And I hope heaven for you gets brighter and sweeter as years roll by and your longing for it gets more and more. And whether you're young, in these, as these young folks are here today, or whether you're in the twilight years of your life according to nature, we don't know what a day is going to bring. We don't know what this day holds for any of us. We just know life at its longest is short, and it's but a vapor. And the most important thing you and I can do in it, in this world, is walk in fellowship and in obedience to the one with whom we have relationship, because he has quickened us and made us alive. And that's what the Apostle Paul, I will read this text, that's what the Apostle Paul is telling them, and the elders, he's telling them, you preach this, you teach this to God's children. Here in Acts chapter 20. Let's start at verse 17. He says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Sometimes the elders of the church are talking about some of the older members. Not necessarily older as far as natural years, but older as far as growth in the church. They've grown in grace and knowledge of the truth. In this particular place, the elders are the overseers, the teachers, those that have been called in a place of leadership in the church as pastors and teachers to stand before God's people and feed the flock of God. And the Apostle Paul has a message expressly for them. He calls the elders of the church. Now we're on verse 18. And he says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men rise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. The Apostle Paul says, brethren, y'all know me. Y'all know who I am. You have seen me. Paul had been with them for, he says in this case, for a period of at least 3 years. They had heard him preach. They had seen him walk. They had seen him act and behave among them. They knew from what they had witnessed that he was faithful. One thing that I just get amazed at, wish it was more the case with me, and I probably feel that all of you wish it was more the case with you, but I certainly know I wish it was more the case with me. Paul says, you know the manner, what manner, in verse 18, I have been with you at all seasons. You see, the Apostle Paul, one thing you could count on, it seems, the Apostle Paul from this verse, and I don't believe for a moment the Apostle Paul was bragging on himself. As a matter of fact, we know from other places in the Scripture, Paul said he was what? He was what he was by the grace of God. He recognized and knew that in himself, he said, in me, that is in my flesh, in the Roman letter, dwells no good thing. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death? Paul knew that by nature, he was a child of wrath, even as others. He included himself in Ephesians 2, those who had been quickened and made alive. He says, who were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We all had our conversations. Notice he didn't say you all. Don't you like preaching that not only says you all, but it doesn't say just you all, what you need to do, but we all. We all are together in this. Paul said, we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of God, even as others. The Apostle Paul knew he would have remained in that condition. He would have never become the Apostle Paul and been able to do any of this were it not for the grace of Almighty God. Though it is not mentioned here necessarily to that degree, we know through the rest of the Scripture, Paul's not bragging on himself. There's nothing more unbecoming to a minister or to a member of God's church for us to start bragging on ourselves. It is even unbecoming for Old Baptists to start bragging on being Old Baptists, because I am thankful and trust I'm thankful that and want to be more thankful. The Lord has blessed me to see and understand the truth. If I do indeed know it, I thank God that I know it. But I never want to say in any way that I have any part in this. If I do have some understanding, we only have it but through the grace of Almighty God. You agree with that? And that it's only by His grace we know what we know. So what do we have to boast in? Well, we do have some things to boast in, but it's not going to be in Brother Gary. It's not going to be in you. It's not going to be in any of the elders in the past. It's not going to be any of the members of the past. It's as saintly as many of them were. It's not going to be in Mama and Daddy. We have one to boast in the today, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. Brethren, we've got enough to do boasting in Him to ever start bragging on ourselves. And all we're to do is take heed unto ourselves, is to remember that without Him we are nothing. And we come today at His feet. Let's be like Mary. Be at His feet, sitting and listening to His word. Paul said he was with them that way at all times. In other words, he was consistent. Are you like me sometimes? Some days I'm on, some days I'm off. Most of the time I'm off, and occasionally I'm on. Some days I'm up, some days I'm down. I don't believe this means Paul didn't have up and down days, but I believe he consistently walked in the doctrine as an apostle. As he said here, he was with them at all times. He said at all times and in all seasons. That means when things were going well with the Apostle Paul, when things were difficult with the Apostle Paul, you know, you have all the seasons of the year. And some people like summer, and some people like winter, and some people like fall, and some people like spring. I'm a teacher. I like winter. The reason I like winter is because it snows, and when it snows, I don't have to go to work. And because of that, I like winter. And some of you, and I'm sure it's going to be that way with me, once I don't, that changes, and all snow means to me is shoveling, then I'm going to say, I don't like winter either. I like summer. I like whatever time. But right now, in all seasons, we have seasons of the year. The Apostle Paul and God's little children, listen, in the seasons of our lives, whether we're in the young years or the middle years or where we're at, whether we're in the midst of those high times when the Lord's been so bold and great to us and wonderful to us, that we're able to see it. He's always that way. But we're able to see it, or whether it's in those dark, cloudy moments, like a cold, wintry day where you wonder if I ever go warm up again. Paul was consistent. He was trusting the Lord. And he said to the brethren, listen, I've been here serving the Lord. Serving the Lord when things look good, serving the Lord when things look bad, serving the Lord when everything was working out, serving the Lord when it wasn't working out. He got up in the morning serving the Lord. He went to bed in the afternoon serving the Lord. He went where he went preaching. He preached in public. He preached from house to house. He preached all the time. He was a minister of the gospel. It was his calling. I believe the Apostle Paul would have preached to you while he was making tents. Don't you? In other words, his making tents didn't stop him from preaching. It just allowed him not to have to get a lot of things from those he was preaching to, and enabled him to better able to stand and preach unto God's children, letting them know, this is not about your gold, it's not about your money, I'm not a hireling, I am a minister of the gospel that is not doing this in order to make my living. I am doing this as the calling that God has given me, and I want to be faithful at all seasons. I wish that I could say to you, I've been that way. But I know there's times, as I've talked to the brethren some this morning, I said, I'm feeling a little down this morning. I don't want to go in and make everybody else feel down. You know, it's nothing worse to go to church and have a depressed preacher stand up in front of you. And when you need a word of encouragement, you go out more depressed because all he's got is depression, and he shares that with you. And you go out the door going like, phew, why did I come here today? But I want you to know, without the Lord, we're all depressed. And the only way we'll be faithful, the only way we'll be consistent, the only way we'll be in all seasons where we ought to be, is to be at the feet of Jesus and look to Him for what we need. He said, I'm serving the Lord with all humility of mind. That's not a big head, is it? That's not a bragger. That's not a boaster. That's a humble little child of God who's walking in the power of God and yet walking humbly, trusting in the Lord. He's not going bragging and boasting about what a good person he is, what a great Christian he is, what a wonderful man he is, what a wonderful woman a person might be. He is saying, if there's any good in me, it's in the Lord, and I'm serving the Lord with all humility of mine. And he said, with many tears. Is there crying in this world? Some people say, well, if you're crying, you must be outside of the will of God. You must be. Have you ever been through some times of tears? I'm going to tell you, the life of a little child of God is sometimes a tearful life. Sometimes it's some tears going on. Sometimes there are tears of joy. Sometimes there's tears of sadness. Sometimes there's tears of sorrow. I'm telling you, you've got a God who's able to wipe away all your tears. But the only way you can get a tear wiped away is to cry one. Did you know that? If you've never had a tear, you won't need them wiped away. The wiping away of our tears is when, yes, I weep. I hope you've wept today or at some point in your life and are weeping really each and every day over the sense of sin that you and I have as a little child of grace. I can't make you aware of what a sinner you are. You can't make me aware of that. But when the Holy Spirit works in your heart, you're awakened to the fact I'm a sinner and that I need to repent. Now, what does repentance mean? That means you beg God to forgive you. And you stop walking in this way and turn and walk another way. The Apostle Paul said, I was serving the Lord with many tears and temptations. I believe the Apostle Paul wept with God's children when they wept. I believe when they were hurting, he hurt with them. I believe he felt them. I believe as our example, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he wept at the death of Lazarus. Some might speculate why he wept. I know the Bible says, as Brother Jamie shared with me yesterday, he says, I know what the Bible says about why he wept. It says, behold how he loved him. It showed how much he loved him. And I know this, if you love God's children and they're going through a hard time, you can't help but feel that. And when they hurt, you can't help but hurt with them. And when they're brokenhearted, you want to give them a word. You can feel, I can feel the weight. As I feel the weight of sin in my life, and sin burdens me down, when I find a little brother and sister that's brought down under the weight of sin in their life, and they're awakened to the fact they may be in an awful place. They may be like a little woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. They may be like one hanging out in a bar stool, or drugs have got them so bound up that they can't do anything. They may be a streetwalker. They may be in all the walks of life. They may be good little boys and girls that have been brought up in old Baptist family homes and in their mind feeling like I'm pretty good, that one day God wakes them up and they say, oh, I'll tell you, without him I'm in trouble. You've been brought to that place to know without the blood of Jesus you're in trouble. Listen, it's part of the minister's responsibility to preach that without the shed blood of the Jesus Christ, there would be none saved, no, not one. That if you and I had to walk into heaven based upon our good works, there would be none righteous, no, not one. It's the duty and responsibility of a faithful minister to declare unto all that all have sinned. Listen, you've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't mean sin a little bit. I mean sin from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and in you, not one good thing. And if the Lord doesn't wash you all the way, you're not washed at all. But if he has washed you all the way, there's nobody else that can help you any more than he already has. And he's done that for you. So that your gratitude and your love will never be misplaced, but it'll be given to the one to whom it belongs, and that's the one who first loved you. And if you ever love him, it's because he first loved you. That's preaching what the Apostle Paul said to preach. Not telling people what they need to do in order to get to be his. Not telling them if you'll do this and do that, he'll save you. But if you don't do this and do that, then you'll lose out on what he did for you at Calvary. As if what he did for you wasn't a finished work. Listen, when Jesus died on Calvary's tree, he took every sin that you and I had ever committed as his children. That is his children for whom he died in his own body. And he paid that sin debt in full. And you and I, when we go to him and say, God, forgive me. And you know how often you need to do that? Every day. I would even go even so far to say you could do it every moment, not get it overdone. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. How often should we say that? I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll bring peace in your life. Father, forgive me. You know what the Bible says? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When He cleans you, He doesn't just wash you a little bit. One of the brethren yesterday, I believe it was Brother Joe, talked about the red clay down near his home, and how the children would go out in the red clay and they'd get covered from red clay from the top to the bottom, and said before they'd ever get in the house, you better believe somebody got a hold of them and washed them up, because they wasn't bringing that red clay in the house. I'm telling you, before any of us ever get to heaven, there won't be one drop of red clay. There won't be any. Our sin, though it be red like crimson, it'll be as wool. Though you've been washed, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, whiter than snow. Though we be as scarlet, she shall be as wool. Though we be red like crimson, you shall be white as snow. And you ever looked at it, and I love snow, like I said, you ever looked at it in the snow when it first falls, it just doesn't seem like anything's brighter than that. But I'm telling you, you're going to be washed whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. He said, I serve the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations. The Apostle Paul faced those temptations, but not in his own power, but by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. And they saw one of their champions as a Jew, the one who was the greatest persecutor among them, probably one they recognized to be a chief among them, turn, and now he who was a persecutor is now a preacher of the gospel they despise. And you better believe they did everything they could to stand in the way of the Apostle Paul. But you know what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you sometimes see a world today that's so against you? You see the direction of the world is so contrary. You see the direction of our nation even so contrary. You see the direction of our leaders contrary. The ideas and the thoughts and the morals of the land so contrary. Listen, little children of God, we're to continue in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and be not afraid, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And there's no weapon formed against you that'll prosper. You have the captain of the Lord's salvation to look to. The Apostle Paul said, I was at all seasons the same. And he said, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Listen, preachers are to preach what's profitable. And what's profitable? What's written. We're not to preach politics. We're not to preach times. We're not to preach the newspaper. We're not to preach current events. We're to preach the Word. And I tell you what the Word will do. The Word will help your politics. The Word will help your current events. The Word will help you live in this world in a way that's honorable and before Almighty God. And we need this Word to guide us. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. You need this Word to teach you how to raise your children. You need this Word to teach you how to work on the job. You need this Word to teach you how to live in this world until the Lord comes again. You need this Word to help you when you feel that great weight of sin, to remind you again of the deliverance that's in the Redeemer. You see, not only do we preach repentance towards God, but we preach faith in Jesus Christ. See, I don't want you trusting in anything else today. If I tell you you had to do something to help, you had to do something to help Him, I'd have you trusting in Him, but then in you. The fact of the matter is, will you trust in one who has done that work for us in redeeming us and saving us? And He who gave His only begotten Son, the Father, and the Son came willingly and died for us, He has promised, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things, that which we stand in need of? He said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. But I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Get that. He'd preach wherever He went. Today we stand before you publicly and preach the gospel. I've heard gospel sermons publicly in a church service. It's been wonderful. I rejoice in preaching. I could hear preaching all day long. I could sit and listen to preaching in the morning and preaching in the evening. And I love to eat physically, but I'd rather hear preaching than eat. And that says a lot about me, if you know how much I like to eat. It's pretty evident. I love the preaching of the gospel. I love to hear brethren preach about Jesus. I love that sweet message of His death for a sinner like me. I love what He secured for us in heaven in immortal glory. I love to hear about His death and His burial and more, His resurrection, that He came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I love to hear that message when I feel like I'm in trouble, and like I was this morning, down and a little bit low and depressed. I'll tell you, when I'm low in spirit, the hymn writer wrote, and then I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with Thee. I know I need Him. And when you cry unto Him from the dunghills of this world and in the miry clay, and you're sinking down as your soul was sinking down, we cry out to Him and He lifts us up from that low place and puts our feet. Have you been lifted up? Have you ever been down and been lifted up? And He sets your feet up on a rock and you feel like, hey, I got some solid ground that I can live on. I've got a Savior to trust in. I've got one to pray to. When I get in trouble, I've got one to look to. When my family gets in trouble and I can't fix it, I got one to look to. When I need help and direction, I've got one who will truly help me and direct me. I've got something better than a Hallmark card to share. I've got the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done. Listen, every minister of the gospel has the duty and responsibility to preach it faithfully. To not only tell sinners about their sin, but to tell them about the Savior who has washed them whiter than snow, redeemed them by His own shed blood. Not to scare them to death. They're already, if the Lord dealt with them, they have a fear of God in their heart that men can't give them. But to allow them to understand that this God who you may be fearful of is fear not, be not afraid, because He loved you and He died for you and He paid a sin debt for you. And when you leave this world, it isn't going to be because you got it right that you go home to glory. It's because He did all that was necessary already for you. Listen, a lot of God's children are believing the other. And they're walking in sorrow and in bondage here in this world. Be thankful if you've been set free. May the truth continue to set you free. He says, I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. In other words, you preach grace. The old Baptists love to hear grace. Now listen, we preach it. I love to hear it in the public, but I love to hear it when we're sitting down. I like to hear the preaching while we're here. I love to go downstairs while we're sitting around and eating and preaching going on, don't you? Sometimes it's sweeter there than it was upstairs. Sometimes the best sermons are on the ride going from one place to the other. Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes the best sermons happen maybe when one greets one another and you're walking down in the course of life on the way, and you see someone at a store, you see them as we've often said about Brother Elder Paul Troutner. Everybody always accused Brother Paul Troutner of preaching everywhere he went all the time. If he was pumping gas, he'd preach to people as he was pumping gas. If he was riding in a car, he preached to people as he was riding in a car. He just went preaching. Isn't that a great testimony for someone to have about a minister of the gospel? That if you talk to him, he's going to preach to you. Listen, Elder James Ireland was put in prison for this reason. He preached that heretical doctrine of baptism to everybody he met. You know what that meant? That was back when the doctrine of baptism in the early history of this country was a doctrine that many people did not believe in, because they believed in infant baptism, and because it was believers' baptism that he preached. That would get you arrested if you preached that heretical doctrine to one who had believed in infant baptism, and that was the government's religion. And there was no freedom of religion when he preached it in Virginia. That came later. That dear faithful preacher, you know what he did? He'd meet somebody, you know what he'd preach? He'd preach the truth. Where did it get him? Well, it got him a lot of peace, but it also got him a jailhouse. And he wrote from his palace in Culpeper. Where was he writing from? A prison. A jailhouse. Not a nice little jail like we have. They put him in that jail, and what did he do? You know what he did? He preached through the bars to those that gathered on the outside. And it didn't hurt the gospel. Their efforts to hurt the gospel put all these little churches in this area and other places, men like him and others, went preaching. And as they were persecuted, it didn't kill the church. It brought it about. And that church traveled from not only here, across the United States. We got a lot of history, dear ones. the hand of God, not only in the days of the apostles, but in our day. Listen, you and I would have a lot more persecution if we shared a lot harder and a lot stronger. If we did more what they did, preach that doctrine. And listen, baptism was part of that doctrine. The ordinances were part of that doctrine. Not only did he preach about salvation by grace, but he preached about the ordinance and the duty of God's little children who love the Lord to walk in the waters of baptism. If you love the Lord, and it's because he loved you, and there is a responsibility on your part to take up your cross and follow him in baptism. And that does not make you his child, but because you are his child, that'll give you, as the brother said yesterday, it'll give you a good conscience. Water won't save you for heaven and mortal glory, but it is an answer of a good conscience toward God. It helps you thinking that you're at peace about that. There's a rest you get in it you don't get anywhere else. He not only preached about that, but he preached about the communion table, which we do. We take of the bread and the wine of our Lord as an ordinance of the church to remember his death. It is our responsibility to remember his death until he comes again. When we partake of the bread, we're thinking of the body that was broken for us. We did that yesterday. As we took that bread in our mouths and we ate of it, I thought about the body of my Lord. How it was so greatly beaten, ripped open. Not only the physical agony, but even the Father poured out his wrath on his only begotten Son because of my sins. Listen, it was our sins, but it was in particular my sins, and in particular your sins that he did that. And when we take of that bread, and when we drink of that wine, we remember his blood that was shed for us. We remember his body that was broken for us. And we do indeed show his death until he comes again. We believe he's coming again. I believe he's coming again. We ought to, as the assembly that he has put here in this world, show forth that until he comes again. Those are the things that he taught. He not only taught them about that, but he talked to them about how they ought to live and how they ought to act, how they ought to conduct themselves in the house of God. I believe there were sometimes the preaching of the Apostle Paul would have lifted you up so high you could have floated away. But I think there's sometimes he would have probably cut you up so bad. I mean, he laid it out in love and in long suffering, but he was faithful to declare what's necessary. May God bless us to be more that way as ministers of the gospel. And may God's church prosper under that. He says, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. What did he preach? Repentance toward God and what? And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There's just so much more here that I look at my watch and it seems like it's time just seems like running faster, but it's all right. Maybe not for you. So I want to be mindful of that. Brethren, I know that what we have in the message of salvation by grace is so wonderful and so important to be shared with others of God's children. It's just a peace and a rest and a joy that comes in hearing the gospel, the deliverance that comes in hearing the gospel, and effect that you have in this world as those who hold it and believe it. As you take what you hear and you carry it out, it's so important not only to keep it here, but to take the name of Jesus with you, and not just to put it on the outside and wear it, but have it on the inside by the grace of Almighty God. Let work out that which he has worked in, and let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I tell you, and his promises are going to be with us even unto death. May we live our life with that understanding. And I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.